Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown. Can you understand that Paul's life has become totally other directed? Paul's writings are almost exclusively, except when he says, I'm talking like a fool, they're devoid of the I motive. They're exclusive towards glory and seeing nothing but the cross. And seeing that his joy is fulfilled as the understanding is in someone else. Now, that is why you're here. In order that you might participate in that joy by watching someone else come to life. I can't tell you, if you don't see that, you're missing the mystery, because you're self-consumed. And if you're self-consumed, even in spirit stuff, you're going to be a defeated person. It's only in the abandonment of self, and in the Paul never, do you understand, Paul never tried to talk anybody into anything. Have you ever noticed that? Three different occasions, everybody left him, and he said, in essence, said, fuck you. Probably didn't use those exact words, but his speaking was as unto God. His living was as unto God, but as God receives joy in seeing the unfolding of the mystery in one of the vessels, that's what Paul received his joy from. But the moment Paul would try to cause the joy to come in one of the vessels, then it would be polluted. Then it would be Levitically unclean, because the garment would be spotted by the flesh. But Paul couldn't do that until he saw that he had to let himself, or leave self behind. All aspects of self. Every aspect of self, it says, is gone as far as the east is from the west. It's just turned. It's gone behind. You understand, that's what's so evil about prosperity preaching, is because it centers on self. And so it makes it impossible for the believer to turn from self. Because he's taught in the name of God to center on self. Can you imagine how pissed off God's going to be?
Already is.
But the joy comes in whatsoever you do in thought, word, and deed, as unto the Lord and not as unto man. Turning from self, and in that believe, therefore speak, seeing someone else be fulfilled. So Paul calls it the Philippians, his dearly beloved, first of all, a brethren, dearly beloved, longed for, his joy and his crown. I beseech you, Odious, beseech, I can never pronounce that word.
Eurius.
Huh?
What, he calls it Odious next?
Yorius?
No, not that. The next word.
Syntyche?
Syntyche. That they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also. That's what we just...
Same guy?
Yeah. And with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Now this is without exception. Rejoice always. There is never a reason not to be in the state of rejoicing. There's no condition, there's no situation, there's no anything that can affect that. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. Now, that's a great word there. What's moderation? That means let's be careful and be moderate. And
ride the fence.
The word moderation there, it's let your abandonment. is in the Greek. Let your abandonment be known unto all men. It's one of the worst translations of a word in the history of the known universe. Let your abandonment be known unto all men, for the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer, let your requests be made known unto God. Is that what it says? And everything by prayer, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds centered in Christ Jesus. Is that what it says?
No.
Left out something.
Supplication.
Supplication.
Yes.
Supplication says, remember what supplication is? Supplication says, I put my head in the mouth of a lion. That's to be in a state of supplication. What that means is, if God doesn't cause that lion to keep his mouth open, I'm dead meat. Prayer without supplication is jacking off. Excuse me, I didn't say that.
Masturbating.
Thanks for clearing that up.
The vernacular.
Do you understand? Most prayers are the Lord's Prayer in reverse.
I mean, it's like you pray, but you say, whatever you do, I completely submit it to your will, and I'm grateful even for everything you give, even if it's not what I'm asking for.
No, that's not it. That's a cop-out prayer.
Well, but, I mean, where does the Thanksgiving prayer come in?
You're usually whining.
Hmm? Yeah, you're whining. Yeah. Remember we've talked before, the prayer of a child, the prayer in the world is totally self-centered. The prayer of the child, the darling infant, is begging. The prayer of the adolescent, the prayer in the wilderness, is get me the fuck out of here.
Don't delay.
I hate this. I don't like this. And I hate you because I don't have any options. So we got the prayer of the Gentile, the prayer of the child, the darling infant, the child, the prayer of the adolescent. So you know a lot about those three, right?
Pretty familiar.
First three.
But now the prayer of the young man is what? The prayer of the young man is anticipation. No matter what it looks like, the prayer is, since it's spoken, it's done.
And that's where the Thanksgiving consists?
Yeah.
It's like, thank you for doing this thing.
Right. Okay. I mean, but, and again, this comes by the test, so that you're not going to pray. How can I say this?
That's like a name it.
I write unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth continually in you, and you've overcome the evil one. So the idea then of prayer of the young man in the young man state is the idea that it's a done deal. I'm anticipating its completion. But the prayer of the father is the interesting one. I run unto you, fathers, because, why? Because been with him from the beginning. It's Christ in you from before the foundation of the world. The prayer of the Father is scary. Because the prayer of the Father is calling forth. It's simply affirming right now. Boom. And that's that prayer position of You know, I mean, you understand, I didn't spend much time in the begging state. Because I knew that kind of made me sick to my stomach.
Is it like whining even in yourself?
What?
So you don't like whining even in yourself?
No, I hate it. But I did it.
Just a taste.
Just a minute.
No, I didn't have any choice in the matter. But I spent a lot of time in this adolescent state.
You can forget it. Yeah. You can just forget it.
I'm never going to talk again. God, yeah. If you don't do this, I'm never going to open my mouth again.
You can end it like Jim does.
Oh, man. Remember the three prayers in the back row?
Yeah.
No, we got on one end, the book ends between this one.
Yeah.
On Jim's version of Amen is, oh man.
It's close.
Dwight's version of Amen is,
Oh shit.
Ronnie and Rico, huh?
Oh baby.
Morning Bible study is interesting. It's like different than any other. It's hard to explain.
All something shows different happened. I ran your fingers through a tabletop this morning.
And I blew out my I blew out my flip flop.
Did you find it?
Also, now I want to know what they sing. I blew out my flip flop. That's what that is.
Go to 1 John chapter 5.
It's the margarita song.
Yeah.
Works for me.
First John.
It's your 1 John chapter 5. It's just before the third. It's just before 3 John. Does that help?
1 John. What?
It tells me right where it is.
Why?
Oh, yeah.
1 John what?
Chapter
5. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 14. The first John is a book that's written to the fathers.
No.
If you don't understand that, you'll get more screwy theology from 1 John than anything in the universe. 1 John is a book that's written to the fathers.
Spiritually.
Okay. Verse 14. This is the test. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of him. It's a done deal. It's fait accompli. It's spoken, therefore it's done.
Is this like the parable of that guy, I don't know where it is, but where his daughter is sick, and he says, I have a lot of men under me.
No, that's you mixed two.
I mixed two parables.
Yeah, but that's all right.
I'm with you, no
worries. What does 16 mean? Yeah.
If any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them. That's sin, not unto death.
There is a sin unto death,
and I do not say that he shall pray for it. Probably don't want to know what that means.
No, really.
Huh? It's like the one thing that every time I start to teach in the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, Larry goes, la 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 la.
What does he mean by praying? If anyone's doing any other sin besides that,
you have the power to forgive the sin.
Oh, cool. Except for that one.
One more time?
I don't even understand this one.
This is weird.
Okay. The scripture says that the disciple has the power to forgive sin and to let sin stay. And so he's saying that if you see a sin that is not a sin unto death, you can forgive it.
What is a sin unto death?
You don't want to know.
Yes,
the big one. Well, I mean, he's saying you shouldn't even pray for it.
Huh?
I mean, he's
he said don't pray for it.
Don't pray for the sin unto death.
Right.
But
Okay, let's go back to Philippians. We're getting off course. So again, the only way, you don't go from, take the trek from the child to the adolescent to the young man to the father isn't a function of time. It's a function of obedience. Of the moment you can be in joy under and contentment in whatsoever state you find yourself, then if you can hear this, then the reason, if something is troubling you and you're still in joy over it, then the reason for the thing that's troubling you will disappear. But if you're this whiny little shit that says, if something's troubling you, make a vow and you'll get out of the trouble, then what's going to happen? You might as well invite seven demons right into your house. The prayer is in prayer and supplication to stay under, obedient, in whatsoever state you find yourself, therewith to be content, and as you see contentment in that place, I promise you, instantly after contentment is joy, no matter what it is. No matter what, it's impossible to conceive of a condition that doesn't meet that standard. Everything in the universe will try to pull you away from it. The greatest one that'll pull you away from it is sincerity and righteous cause. It'll just sneak you right away. It'll pull any joy. It'll rob you of joy. It'll rob, and not only will it rob you of joy, it'll make you powerless. Yet your mind continues to say, well, that's got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do this, I've got to do that. The moment your mind is saying that, then you are asking God to bless that which is cursed. And you know nothing about freedom and liberty. You're locked in bondage. The bondage is of your own mind's making. But if you can rejoice in all things, and again I say rejoice, it doesn't matter whether you're in the child, the adolescent, the young man, or the father, the process will be speeded up. I don't want you to go through the same shit I did. 5-6 years of total aloneness, thinking everybody in the universe thinking I'm crazy, including me. You don't have to duplicate that, because we are one. Can you understand that? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Can we hear that? Be careful for nothing. What does it mean to be careful? That means give something importance.
Somebody else's reaction.
Doesn't matter. There's nothing. Be careful for nothing. Can everybody say nothing?
Nothing.
But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding. In other words, by any understanding, there's no reason for you to be at peace.
You know, it's like when you do go out of peace, it's, if you even remember, rejoice in the Lord always, then it stops, and again I say rejoice.
Yeah. Amen. The peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, what the hell does that mean? Does that mean I'm supposed to surround, okay, I'm going to go and I'm going to surround myself with things that are honest, things that are just, things that are pure, things that are lovely.
You pretty much emptied this room.
Things that are of good report, things that are virtuous, things that are worthy of praise. That's what your mind takes with that scripture. But what God says is you call that out of every situation you find yourself in. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, sees nothing in all things but what is just, pure, lovely, good report, honest. And calls it forth. Because he's calling forth the hidden beauty of the bride. But if you look on the outward appearance of anything, then you will walk in deception, you will walk in sloth, you will walk... The biggest thing that happens when you walk in the outward appearance is you walk in sincerity. Mm-hmm. Do you understand? There's nothing in the entire universe more boring than sincerity. It kills relationships. It makes everybody else think you're boring. It makes there's nothing in the universe more boring than sincerity. I just love it when people come and make an offering to me in sincerity. Of course, none of you would ever try that. That's why they think, oh, he's such a son of a bitch. He didn't even appreciate what I...
And kicking and screaming.
Spend hours crafting that offering.
what does one sound like?
Painted it up.
What does one sound like?
One sound like? An offering?
A sincere offering.
Sincere? No, well, normally the offering, or the sincere offering, the most common of the sincere offering is, I was worrying about this all night last night. Or, I really saw this in the scriptures. You know, this, I really got this. God really showed me this.
But I'm better now.
Or, you know, all those horseshit offerings of sincerity that, you know, it's like, that's why I'm sorry we didn't get to the jewels last year. God stopped me from studying any more of the jewels, because I think the jewels are these little gems, you know, the little offerings of the portions of the truth. And you bring a little hunk of a diamond and a little piece of an emerald and a little piece of a sapphire, and you bring it as an offering. And you try to allure with it out in the world. We won't do that anymore, do we? What are you laughing at? Well, tell him. Share with the class, Mr. Getzlaf.
I'm just saying that sometimes you enjoy this way too much.
What is it?
Got your little things.
Only I think your doctrine should be more balanced. That's why.
How do you do it?
Yeah. Or what I love it is when people try to small talk.
What's
up? How about this? What's up?
So did you enjoy Greece, Oli?
Did you like
Greece? Were you in there when Margaret did that? Anyway, I don't want to talk about it. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Well, you can say, well, I don't think there's any virtue. I don't think there's any praise. I don't think there's any good report. I don't think there's anything lovely. I don't think there's anything pure. I don't think there's anything just. I don't think there's anything honest. And I think I got to do something about it. Lots of luck, fella.
Did you read the people section of the Dallas Morning News? It talks about that guy in MASH. He started saying that everything is like your responsibility. He's talking about Samoa, it's my responsibility. He named some other heavy thing, my responsibility. I thought, God.
What we talked about this morning was, if you want to get on that subject, what you ought to take a lesson from Jackie and stop continental drift. Mm-hmm. And then the really big one.
I was waiting for your time. How funny. You remember that. What is it?
Jackie had a bumper sticker that said, "Stop Continental Drift."
Oh.
Then, but the big one, if you want to really get rid of injustice, stop death. You know, let's really work for a good one. If you're going to work for a cause, work for a good one. Stop death. That's good. What happened to all the little bumper stickers we were going to make? We should do that again. There's a little Gnostic in all of us.
I remember that guy.
This bumper sticker is a phylactery.
This bumper sticker is a phylactery.
Yeah, most people got phylactery.
Seriously, it's not permanent.
That's good.
Let's stop death before it stops us.
Let's stop death before it's... That's a good one. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. That's an incredible, arrogant statement. Paul said, those things which you have both heard, learned, received, heard, and seen in me, do. The only thing that has any, and I can say the same thing, because the only thing that has any merit in me is the faith, is the pushing you to the wall, is not allowing gray. I mean, anything else is just... So can we take away tonight, rejoice in all things, and everybody say rejoice?
Amen.
Amen? Amen. And the promise of that is that God will keep your heart and mind centered. No more deception, no more being led off. Okay, that's enough. We didn't study anything that I wanted to study tonight, and yeah, it's Burnett's fault. I said that, didn't I? Take a big guy again.